off the ball.
GAA.
We could very easily just leave Sam Maguire with the Dubs now and it'll be safe and it won't be touched by anybody else. I think that's going to happen.
Off the ball.
GAA. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed at Cheltenham. We're Cheltenham ready. Are you 18 plus? See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 18 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward with you as always. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. For members this week, we will preview Saturday's Lincoln Flat Handicap at Doncaster and also look at Saturday's card at Navan and Sunday's action at Naas and Limerick. Johnny, how are you?
I'm good, JD. Over Cheltenham and ready for the flat season, yeah. All good.
We still have Ferry House, Saintry and Punchestown as well.
We do. And we do. Although Limerick, funny just looking at Limerick on Sunday, small fields, which is interesting because it's more sort of National Hunt ground than soft ground. But, you know, the prospect of Constitution Hill potentially coming to Punchestown, I kind of have a feeling that I consider Cheltenham a deflating Cheltenham in many respects.
You didn't enjoy it?
Nowhere near the enjoyment I used to get from it. Like, I thought the Wednesday was just a real nadir for Cheltenham. Obviously, the cross-country race was called off. We did six races that day, spread out over the guts of 4 hours, and a 1-5 shot in the big race, 2 odds-on shots, the other two jumps races. Willie Mullins having the first 5 home, and it's a staggering achievement from Willie to have all these winners, but you know, when Patrick Mullins, his son, is basically saying this Cheltenham felt different, it just wasn't quite right, you take notice.
This was in his Racing Post column. So the attendance was down 50,000 for the week in 2 years since 2022. Now, there was a bump after COVID and everything. I still think I was there, obviously, Johnny, and there were some great stories. Rachel Blackmore winning the set, as in winning the champion chase, was a good story. Willie Mullins getting to 100 festival winners was a very good story. I thought the championship races were interesting, even though four of them had predictable results. State Man, Irish Point was interesting. Fabiolo, obviously not performing in terms of his jumping, was interesting. Tiopu delivering was an interesting situation. And then Galopin des Champs proving his greatness. But I would agree that Cheltenham has been conquered by the Irish. And a lot of the point of Cheltenham was at a time when we didn't have sporting success, the Vincent O'Brien era, the Arkell era, the Don Run era, we didn't have international sporting success. Cheltenham was a really big thing to be proud of, but it's been conquered. Like, you had 27 races, 9 Willie Mullins winners, 9 Irish winners, not trained by Willie Mullins, and 9 British winners, 18-9. It was 18-10 last year. And there was a predictability about Cheltenham, despite the couple of great stories with the 100 and the Rachel story, there was a predictability to Cheltenham that I think is, as you would see in any other sport, if Manchester City win everything, or in other sports, if teams just continue to win everything, that does dull the enjoyment and the unpredictability. And what is sport about? Sport's about the art of the possible, and if the possible is predictable, then
yeah, it's the predictable nature of it. And when you see was it Henry Daly, who is basically like, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool jumps fan, but I didn't go the 2 middle days, and obviously he gets in for free, which is a very important point because Cheltenham's a very expensive. I was honestly, and I say this with a heavy heart, like if I were in Cheltenham, I'm not sure I'd be overly bothered about paying 75 quid for some of the days last week, particularly the Wednesday. Now, as you mentioned, some of the championship races, the Gold Cup was the one caveat about the Gold Cup was it was so testing the ground that it made it a real slog. And even looking at Galopin des Champs getting up the hill, I'd be reluctant to back him at Punchestown. I think he'd a really hard race. He's an amazing horse. The highlight of the other races from a championship perspective was definitely the Stayers Hurdle. I was kind of delighted for connections of Tiopu and Jack Kennedy and Gordon Elliott that they had a horse deliver in what was a good renewal of the race, and I thought he was exceptional. But the champion chase was, I mean, you'll never get a more forgettable renewal. You have a horse who's not from 13 in grade ones, who rewards Henry de Bromhead, Captain Guinness, in terms of, you know, going for the race and all that. But they finished like 0-95 handicappers up the hill. I mean, they were really, really tired. And obviously, you got to think of Nicky Henderson, like, because John Bond should have walked that race.
Yes.
So would Fernie Hollow, actually, come to think of it. I mean, I was we were getting a window delivered in the house yesterday, and
double glazing.
Was it double glazing? I'm not a window expert, but your man, like, literally within, he hadn't even come into the house yet. He hadn't even unloaded the window, or the mirror rather, from his van, and he was offering me the leg of a horse. Right, so it turns out he's from like horse country. But we mentioned Fernie Hollow, and I said, Jesus, Fernie Hollow came up in the conversation, and I was like, because your man is kind of attached to the Pat Foley yard, and Pat Foley trained the runner up in Nace to Fernie Hollow the last year, who I actually tipped and ran very well. Fernie Hollow would have walked that race at his best, and he wasn't there either. I still haven't decided about the leg of the horse.
Double glazing and the leg of a horse, two for the price of one.
Yeah,
can't beat it.
He was extolling the talents of Pat Foley, and I wouldn't disagree there.
All sporting events go in an arc. We've had bad World Cups in soccer. We've had changes, the offside rule, things change. There needs to be changes to Cheltenham. What do the changes need to be? I mean, they're not going to go back to 3 days. It should be 3 days, but it's not going to happen financially for the Jockey Club. So maybe six races a day for 4 days, lose some of the races, lose some of the mares races, lose these novice chases like the Turner's Novice Chase. How would you change it? Obviously, they've got to look at the fact that it's £7.50 a pint, that it's £86 for the club enclosure. They say they're doing all these things, and I'm sure they will look at things. But what needs to change around Cheltenham, in your view? My whole thing about it is that it's not going to change. If the narrative is Ireland versus England and there's only one winner at the table, then British racing has to really get serious about investing heavily in the sport, investing heavily in bloodstock agents and owners.
Yeah, I mean, you've the BHA coming out, Judy Harrington, saying afterwards, like, almost blaming the Irish for the state of Cheltenham. But I would look deeper at British racing and say, where are some of the British horses who should be at Cheltenham, particularly trained by Paul Nicholls, where Cheltenham really should be the holy grail? Forget about Aintree. Aintree's neither here nor there, unless it's the Grand National. For me, it's nothing compared to Cheltenham. And when you have Paul Nicholls saying immediately after getting Caldwell Potter, he won't be going to Cheltenham, it's like, this is your premier festival, and you should be ashamed to be losing, to getting a 23.5 battering, a 19.9 battering. This should not be happening. The horse population in Britain is such that British horses should be winning two-thirds to three-quarters of the race at Cheltenham, and that looks like it'll never happen again. And the worry for Cheltenham, I don't see this problem solving itself at all, to be honest. I think, like, you know, we've problems in Irish football, we've problems in getting to major tournaments. That will happen, I think, down the line. But in Cheltenham, no, because the British owner doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Okay. There were horses that left their races at Cheltenham, I think, that might not turn up in the same health at Punchestown in 6 weeks' time. The ground is as bad as I've ever seen it. Keep an eye on horses that skip the festival, is what I would say. There are horses that are just not the horses they used to be. Facil Vega would be one that I would say that about. Sir Gerhard, Monkfish. But when you go through the festival, Johnny, were there horses you said that, I'd like to follow that? The most impressive performance for me was Ballyburn. I thought he was absolute monster machine, and the way he got up through the line was really, really impressive, and got up on the chance as well. He could go for three gold cups next year. As you say, it looked easy for Paul Tennant, but it was a tough finish for Galop on the chance, who had a loose horse to contend with and had to get that trip up the hill, given he was probably prominent in the race.
He's an incredible horse, really. He's like, he goes down as one of the truly great National Hunt horses who, I mean, if you ran him over 2 miles, I'd say he'd be very, very good. I mean, it'd be interesting if they went, if they ran him the Champion Chase this year, what price would he have been? That'd be interesting, because he would have won. He's not slow, as we saw when he won as a novice, or when he fell as a novice at Cheltenham, but should have won. The form as well, JD, like, I know my selection, Gentleman's Game, he'd an off day. Monkfish was pulled up, seemed to have bled. Nassalam was pulled up, but like, you had Jerry Kalam, who was produced in tip-top shape by Gordon Elliott, really ran a solid, solid race. Like, he was a 9.5 length winner of the Gold Cup, if you take out the winner. And Galopin Deschamps still had him under control. I just like to see, I'm sure I'm echoing a lot of people in the country, I just like to see a bit of decent weather between now and Punchestown, that we don't have a slog like that, because it'll just make
You'll have a lot of withdrawals in horses.
Yeah, and it wouldn't suit Fast or Slow, who obviously won the race last year at Punchestown, who unseated his rider. But I'd prefer a more just spring ground at Punchdown, and hopefully we get that, because it was a real slog. And Paul Townend 12 months ago was riding that horse to almost get home. This year he knew he was going to stay the trip, but it made it a, he had a very hard race.
Now, to be fair to you, Johnny, on our first episode in November of the Racing Pod, we picked 10 horses to follow. Four of your 10 won at Cheltenham. Factophile, Lossie Mouth, Mashborough at 6-1 in the Triumph Hurdle, and Gaelic Warrior.
Yeah, like the Gaelic Warrior one was a bit mad because I was kind of keen to oppose him. I thought he's just going to give up too much ground at his fences. But Paul Townend was able to get him into a nice rhythm and showed remarkable trip versatility, because you remember when we watched the race at Punchdown last year, he stayed the 3 miles so well that day, beat Affidale Fury in a canter. He's a very, very good horse, Gaelic Warrior. And I think there's talk from going to Fairy House, but trip-wise, I mean, if he stays 3 miles, like if he, I'd love to see him going back up and trip, because I know he won, it wasn't the strongest renewal maybe of the race, but he's very, very versatile regarding trip. And
the difference
is
the hood. It's the hood that made the difference.
Yeah, the hood made the difference. And like his jumping was, it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't as bad as, like Patrick Mullins would say after Limerick, there was a big debate as to how bad his jumping was. And Patrick Mullins was very defensive that he actually, he's quite markedly out to his left here. But he wasn't so much that at Cheltenham. He was, or out to his right rather. He wasn't too bad, and the hood seemed to work. And yeah, it was a really good performance. But I would like to see him stepping back up and trip, because he's able to do that.
I picked Ballyburn and Factophile in my 10 to follow. Only had two winners. Jerry Kalam was also in there, the second horse in the Gold Cup. And the handicaps we picked the week before, Lotus Sud was one of mine and got chinned by a great ride from Paul Townend on Absurd. I think every single week, Johnny, we've been tipping winners on this slot, and it's not really about the tipping, it's about the chat, but I tipped a lot of outsiders. My two men apps finished third at a 66-1 second and a 25-1 fourth, but no winners. So just my form deserted me. Why does that happen? I just can't, like sometimes it's like the little bird is on your shoulder and sometimes it just flies away and you can't pick one.
And it wasn't, I mean, you couldn't say it was a Cheltenham where there were loads of like mad results.
I know, I'm not a favourites backer.
But this is the funny thing. If you ask the bookmakers, like, if you're an on-course bookmaker at Cheltenham, people generally don't back odds on shots. They might put them in multiples, but they don't, if you are Ray Mulvaney or whoever you are at Cheltenham, and I spoke to him about the week for a piece I did last week, your regular punter does not want to back odds on. So, like, these odds on shots winning necessarily aren't necessarily great for punters. For all that, there was a stat from Odds Checker that said this. El Fabiola was in, like, I think about 40% of multiples going into Cheltenham. So that was a good result for the bookies. But the on-course bookmakers, they don't really lay odds on shots. So it was a mixed week for them. I'm like you though, JD. I had a very, very quiet week punting-wise. I had a good bet on Brighter Days Ahead that went south, and I didn't find it at Cheltenham that I knew I made this point last week, and I will say this, I was really hammering about the ground, like this is going to be Cheltenham like no other, and the going,
yes, you're right about that,
the going stick was like, it wasn't remotely like any other Cheltenham. In fact, like they really kind of messed up by not changing the ground description until after was the second race on day one.
The jockeys were sensible, to be fair to them. Yeah
but it kind of put me off though, because you know, a lot of horses just wouldn't be able to cope with that ground. And even if you back Captain Guinness to win the Champion Chase, like, I mean, he was legless getting up the hill, but he still won.
So we did to get back €520.60 from the week of charity bets, and we're going to donate it to the Irish Mono Neuron Disease Association. So we're going to donate it that way. So that's what's happened at Cheltenham Week. In terms of horses to keep an eye on, I thought Mystical Power is one to follow on Better Ground, was second to Supreme Novices, giving you such good breeding out of Galileo, Annie Power. Lucky Place was a horse for Nicky Henderson, and he had such a terrible week and really got to feel sorry for him. I think he'd be interested in a 3 mile handicap hurdle going forward. He ran well in the Carl Cup. Franciscan Rock, Mass Morris, ran well in the Carl Cup as well.
I think Mystical Power that you mentioned, I think he could be an outstanding horse, because like there's no way that's his ground on pedigree. Like literally no way. And even that, he was wearing a hood for the first time. He's still quite inexperienced in terms of his jumping, but he jumped well. And like you're thinking jump at the last, he's going to win the Supreme well. Now granted, he was done by a horse that probably has a lot more kind of stamina than him in Slade Steel, but he beat Firefox by 3.5 lengths, and I'd love to see him at Punchdown. To reiterate the point I was kind of half making earlier, it just could be that disappointment of the whole Nicky Henderson gate at Cheltenham, where he was ruling out horses because he just didn't want to see them run as crap as they were on day one, and obviously with the Constitution Hill thing. But to see if Constitution Hill and maybe Sergino would rock up at Punchdown, we're a patriotic bunch, but
you won't get
a bigger cheer all week than if Nicky Henderson has a good win or a punch on, because I really feel, and it's a first world problem, and he's, what is he now, 72, he's seen it all, he's had plenty of good days. That was tough though, and it's like, this is, Nicky does put his eggs in the Cheltenham basket, and for him to be pulling out an Albert Bartlett horse, the hot favourite for the Triumph, John Bond, who literally would have won that race in a canter if he'd been there and well on the day, was tough.
The bumper, I felt that the winner, Jasmine DeVoe, is likeable, has speed and stamina in, I suppose, a blend of it, a turn of foot. Romeo Coolio might shape better now, punch down if he goes there, because he didn't have the ideal preparation, your tip. Jolan Duderiz, I think, is a staying chaser, and I think Sounds Victorious and Fishery Lane are two to follow with staying hurdlers. Path Drew, I think, will be interesting up and trip in a handicap chase. Buddy One ran really well in the stairs, ran up in fourth. En Excelsis Deo was an interesting horse who stayed on behind Shake 'Em Up Harry in the plate. The win of Golden Ace in the Mare's Novice says a lot for the non-runner, Dysart Enos, who beat her. I think Majwa is a serious horse as well. Majwa, I think they think a lot of down at Willie Mullins' yard.
They do. You've gotten through a few there, JD. The bumper, I did tip up Romeo Coolio. It was a real echoes as Fernie Hollow, actually. And he almost came up the same part of the track, and I was kind of cheering him on, even though I didn't have a bet in the race. But I was surprised at how weak he was in the bet and kind of put me off a bit, which is a stupid thing to say, I suppose. But the performances you mentioned, Marshborough, considering his inexperience, I feel this was definitely a triumph hurdle in which the ground would have sorted some of them out from. Maybe just horses that wouldn't handle.
I don't think Storm Harsh like the ground, for example.
Yeah, he was beaten 14 lengths. Like, he's better than that. Salvador Mundi as well, who, you know, was sent off 17-2 on his basically his stable debut. His first run of the season to be sent off 17-2 in the Triumph. Willie had the first, the second, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and Joseph O'Brien had Nürburgring in fourth. But these horses on better ground at Cheltenham, I think they're a really, really good bunch of 4-year-olds, and hopefully we have Sergino with them.
Car Grambler is a true stayer. Don't know how much, though, the race will leave a mark for the Grand National. Jerry Clam ran a fine race, as he said, in second in the Gold Cup, Johnny. Dino Blue, give Dino Blue another chance. Back over 2 miles in a better grand race, maybe even over a race that is with geldings in it. Because remember, Dino Blue finished ahead of Captain Guinness the last time they ran.
We had an extraordinary story there as well. And I was texting Gavin Cromwell, I think it was after the race, but I was making the point after... I know the way you're thinking, that if Limerick Lace wins, I presume this is the first time this has ever happened where full siblings win at the same festival, and they won within like 24 hours
in the same colours,
in the same colours for the same trainer, and Keith Donoghue, delighted for Keith as well. He's really carved out a smashing career for himself, considering he had serious weight issues, riding at the top of his game. And that, again, that was a race, I think, if you ran it on good to soft normal Cheltenham ground, the favourite would have won.
Okay, McMahon at Double GA. What is your selection for this weekend? We have the Lincoln at Doncaster on Saturday. We also have Navan on Saturday. Novice Handicap Chase final there. Nace got a Cliff Moon Memorial Handicap. And we've got the Limerick feature on Sunday, the Champion Bumper. Do you have one to pick out for us for the McMahon at Double GA?
Yeah, maybe if you listen to the second half show, we'll go through the Lincoln and I'll give one there. I'm going to give one, though, in the race, the Madrid Handicap, one of my favourite races early on in the season, definitely. And I'm going to give Heavenly Being for Jessica Harrington, Knight of Thunder filly, with a lovely pedigree. And this race has obviously been notable for Aidan O'Brien running serious horses in it. Military on the ground looks a major, major question mark to me. And he's given a lot of weight away, to the extent that he's giving... £19 to my selection, and if you factor in Ketan Kennedy's claim, he's given £24 to Glamorously, who's another Harrington trade runner who's quite interesting. But that Lincoln, we saw the sprint track is unraceable, JD. So decent drawing, I would have thought, this weekend, but it's going to be testing in the Madrid.
So this is in honour of the late Cliff Noon, who worked for the Turf Club. So
yeah, Cliff was an absolute gent. I always, when I think of him, I think of the Curra. He worked for the Curra, and he'd come in always with a smile, with kind of that look of devilment in his face. Always looked like he was kind of ready to have a good day and a good night, and an absolute gent. And a lot of people will be thinking of him on Sunday at Nace.
Absolutely well said, Johnny. So your pick is Heavenly Being in the 3:10 at Nace on Sunday.
Which would be appropriate as well for Cliff as well.
Absolutely. My pick is going to be for... the free tire section. Ask anything for Gavin Cromwell. Won his point and he had the pace doing over 2 miles at Christmas. He runs in the Novice Handicap Chase Final at Navan on Saturday, the 4:33. Ask anything for Gavin Cromwell, and Johnny's pick is Heavenly Bean. So that is what we're looking at in terms of the picks for the free tire section. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our analysis of Saturday's Lincoln at Doncaster and Sunday's fixture at Naas as well, and Limerick in more depth, and Saturday's card at Navan in more depth, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.